supposed to put the... I'm sorry about that. Okay, I want to skip down to chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat of it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. And you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. And so she took some of the fruit and she ate it. And then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. And so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So here we have in Genesis the story of the fall, the story of Adam and Eve and their fall from grace, their fall from their right standing with God. They did not obey God. They were tempted to control their own lives, and they gave in to that temptation. Now, the next scripture that I want to read to you from is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will just kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. So we have Adam and Eve disobeying God with disastrous consequences for themselves and for everybody else, including us. Things haven't changed much since the beginning of time. We still think we know better than God. We still want to be our own gods. We still think that we can control our lives better than God can. And there are still consequences that are disastrous for ourselves and others. That was the first Adam who failed God. The second Adam, who is Jesus, while being tempted in the wilderness, he denies his own impulses and he follows God's will. And that was good for us. That was wonderful for us that Jesus did that. In our modern world where we're used to having control over many things, we often fail to seek God's will for our lives And we try to call our own shots for how we want things to go and how things are going to go. God wants us to deny ourselves and give Him the final say when we're charting out the course of our lives. In his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, Peter Scazzaro, he identifies three things in these temptations of Jesus. The first temptation, he says, is that I am what I do. Performance. The devil says to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, show us, do something. Turn these stones into loaves of bread. Our culture puts the same pressure on us. Our culture says, what do you do? What have you achieved? Let me see your success by the things you've done. As if our achievements is what gives us life, that gives us significance, it gives us security. As if these achievements are the things that would be the things that should control our lives so that we can really have life and find purpose in life. But Jesus answered, here's where life is found. Do the will of God. You live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The second temptation, he said, is the temptation that I am what others think. Popularity. The devil takes Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem, to the highest point in the temple, and he says, if you're the Son of God, jump off. The Bible says that the Messiah is going to be protected by angels. What are people saying about you, Jesus? What are people thinking about you? You want people to believe in you, don't you? So jump off. Let the angels take care of you. Then people will think more highly of you. And today we are addicted to what people think. This is what controls our life. We care more about what people think than we even realize. But Jesus responds and he says, don't test the Lord your God. Care about what he thinks, not about what others think. The third temptation is, I am what I have, possessions. The devil takes Jesus to a high peak, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory. And he says, I'll give it all to you. All you got to do is worship me. In other words, the devil says to Jesus, look around at what other people have. What do you have, Jesus? You have nothing. How could you be someone if you have nothing? Look at everybody else and what they have. You have to get those things and be somebody. And so again, our culture today says the same things to us. It measures success by what we own, what we have. And so our idols become our possessions. And obtaining those things, is what controls our lives. But Jesus said to the devil, get out of here, Satan. I must worship God only. The Bible says you must worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Have no other idols. God only is to be worshipped. And so we search for purpose in this life. It's like the question everyone asks, what is the reason for life? What is my purpose in life? Why do I exist? And our purpose is to know God and to serve God. And until you figure that out, you'll always feel like something is missing for your life and you'll not know the purpose of life. It's not about what we possess, it's about who possesses us. It's not about what we do. It's not about what others think of us. It's not about what we have or don't have that anchors who we are. But as Jesus modeled, It's surrendering to the will of a loving Father that anchors who we are. We were made by God. We were made for God. And in Him is life. In Him we will find purpose. And so we must give up, not just for 40 days, but forever, the control of our lives, and to give that control of our lives over to God. Let Him hold the keys. Let Him call the shots. Trust Him and His will in all times, in all circumstances. Now that sounds pretty good. But are you sure you really want to give the control of your life over to God? Are you sure you want to give over the control to someone else, even if that someone else is a loving God? We know in our minds, we say it with our lips, that we want to trust God, we want to give God our lives, we want to trust His will in all things. But by our lives and by our actions, sometimes we show something different. So this Lent, let's give up more than chocolate. Give up control to God. I wanted you to take some time to do a reflection with me, and I hope that you'll feel comfortable doing this. I'm going to ask you to just, if you would, just close your eyes. That helps us to get rid of distractions. And I want you to just take a moment to just be silent, be still, and just center yourself before God. Just in the silence, in this quiet time, just center yourself before God. Just do that, and then I'm going to read a scripture. John writes in his epistle, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Take a moment to reflect on this. How do you hear the words, "Do not love the world or anything in the world"? Do not love the world or anything in the world. How does that speak to you? What does that mean to you in your life? going to read just a short devotional to you. At the end of the 3rd century, in the deserts of Egypt, an extraordinary phenomenon was occurring. Christian men and women began to flee the cities and villages to see God in the desert. They discerned how easy it was to lose one's soul in the entanglements and manipulations found in society. So they pursued God in a radical way by moving to the desert. They became known as the Desert Fathers. Thomas Merton said this about them. Society was regarded by them as a shipwreck from which each single individual had to swim for their life. These were people who believed that to let oneself drift along passively, accepting the tenets and values of what they knew as society, was purely and simply a disaster. They knew they were helpless to do any good for others as long as they floundered about in the wreckage. Once they got a foothold on solid ground, things were different. Then they had not only the power, but even the obligation to pull the whole world to safety after them. I want to just give you just another moment to reflect on these things, and then I'm going to read a prayer to you. Lord, may your will, not my will, be done in my life. You know how easy it is to call myself a Christian, but then become busy, forgetting about your will and desires. Forgive me for this sin. Help me to listen to you, and grant me the courage to faithfully surrender to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to find or create your own desert during this time of Lent, where you can come apart from this world and be with God and allow Him to speak to you and for you to draw closer to Him. We are going to close the service by singing together, and then we're going to close in prayer. So once again, if you would stand with us as we worship the Lord.